Praise God. I called the sermon, Once Alive But Twice Dead. Once Alive But Twice Dead. And I'll begin with John chapter 11 and verse 25, and you can read with me. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, praise God, when I read that, praise God, and I seen it in a different light, praise God, today or last night when I was working on the sermon, praise God, he, even if he was dead, if he'll believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, he shall live. When I thought about that verse, praise God, I thought that's a promise to the unbelievers. Because the unbelievers, the Bible says, is dead in their sins and their trespasses. But if they'll believe upon Jesus Christ, amen, they'll be alive. Praise the Lamb of God. Though they were still born from their mother's womb, though they were dead in their sins and trespasses, though they're bound like Lazarus, head and foot, praise God, with the grave clothes of sin, though they're chained in the tomb of sin, praise God, if they'll believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be saved, they'll be alive, praise God. Hey, man, I think about old Lazarus, how he was dead for 4 days, and Jesus came, and he said he's going to live, throw that old stone away, and they said, no, Lord, by now he stinks, he's been dead too long. Sometimes we look at old sinner people, and we think they've gone too far, hey, man, they've been in sin too long, hey, man, they're, praise God, they're beyond the point of salvation. But I tell you what, if they'll believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, they'll be alive. They'll live, praise God. Jesus cannot lie, and He's promised it. If they'll believe upon Him, they'll live. What a promise. I wish I had a house full of sinners to preach it to. But that's a good promise, praise God, if you believe. And that's how you're saved. Praise God, if we're saved today, it's because we have believed in Jesus Christ, upon Jesus Christ. Now look at the next words. He said, verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Praise God, I read this and I sing the promise, amen, to those who do believe in Jesus Christ, to those that's been born again, to them that's alive in Jesus Christ. I've seen a promise, amen, that by believing in Jesus Christ, I will never die, praise God. By believing in Jesus Christ, you will never die, amen. Praise God through the new birth. Praise God, we receive the Spirit of God. We receive the life of God. It comes into our lives. And Jesus said, praise God, you're never going to die. He says, believest thou this? And praise God, I don't think so Mary could say was, I believe you're the Son of God. I mean, that explained it all. If she believed Jesus is the Son of God, then what He said had to be true. Amen. Now there's coming a day that the Lord Jesus Christ won't come back, that we're going to, praise God, lay aside this old body. And praise God, amen, it's going to go back to the dust and earth. But the Bible says, praise God, the Spirit shall return to God who gave it, praise God. Amen. Praise God, that Spirit inside of you, where your character is, praise God, that inner man, praise God, is going to return to God. Oh, Paul said, I'm caught between the two, to abide in this flesh or to go on and be present with the Lord. Praise God, he knew that Spirit was going to return to God who gave it, and he would rest in Jesus Christ, amen, to the resurrection. Praise God. Amen. It's sad sometimes we think about just the stature of man, and we think all that he is going to be laid in the grave. That's not all that we are. Amen. We've made out two things. Spirit in us. Amen. Praise God, and we don't have to worry. If we're believing in Jesus Christ, we don't have to worry about death. The Bible says, praise God, O death, where's thy sting? Amen. Praise God. Do you know what the sting of death is? It's sin. And where does the death get its strength? From the law. But through Jesus Christ, amen, He took our sins away. And when He did, He plucked the sting out of death. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. He's not, amen, a stinging scorpion anymore. Praise God. When it comes by your way, you can just think about, praise God, He's going to hurry you on to the kingdom. But now, praise God, if we're not a believer, praise God, He's still a monster. He's a lurking scorpion with a wicked sting. Amen. Praise God, people run from them and they try to avoid them. And they might make it 70, 80 years. I don't know how long they might make it. But one day that old death is going to catch up with them because he rides on a tail horse and you can't outrun him forever. And he's going to lay hands on you. Praise God. And if you're not saved, amen, it's going to be a terrible thing because the thing of death is going to be in you. And the condemnation of the law is going to be on top of you. And the fear of wrath is going to be on you because
thought it a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And I read the Bible, and the Bible says, oh, death was riding a pale horse, and hell followed after him. Praise the Lamb of God. That's what a sinner man has to look forward to when he comes to die. It's not a peaceful experience. It's not a good experience. Praise God, but God says, I got no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Oh, that he might turn, that he might live. Amen. But I thank God through Jesus Christ that he's plucked that old sting of death out of there for them that are believing in Jesus Christ. And when I read that, what Jesus said there, I notice he said, he that believeth shall never die. And I looked up that word believeth in the original Greek. And praise God, amen, it's an active voice, a participle mood, and all that big fancy word for it's a verb that's ongoing. What he's saying is, he that is believing in me shall never die. He that is believing in me shall never die. It's an ongoing verb. Jesus didn't say, he that used to believe in me shall never die. It's he that's believing right now, he shall never die. Too many men wish that it said, he that believed in me shall never die. I've heard men stand and say, if you've ever asked Jesus to forgive you in your life, it don't matter what you've done after that, you're going to heaven. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, he that believeth has eternal life. And the Bible says, he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, praise God, I want to move into a section of the sermon because people ask sometimes, and sometimes they doubt, can a believer become an unbeliever? Can a believer enter into a state of unbelief? That's the thing. You see, we're saved by believing in Jesus, by trusting in Jesus, not by your works, not by nothing, but your believing. But if you could become an unbeliever again, you will fall, praise God, from where you're standing. Can you become an unbeliever after you've believed? Jesus said, they that are on the rock are they who receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, but in a time of temptation, they fall away. They receive the word with joy. It's good news, the gospel. They believe it for a while. We would look at them and say they're saved. We would look at them and say they're Christian. We would call them brother. They believed it, but they don't believe long. They believe for a while, and they fall away. According to Jesus, you can enter into unbelief after you was a believer. Apostle Paul in Hebrews said, take heed, brethren. He's talking to brothers and sisters in the Lord. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Amen. It's possible for a brother or a sister to let an unbelieving heart get inside of them and they fall from grace. Now some men say that's just a vain warning there in Hebrews. They say it's never actually happened, it never will actually happen, it's just a warning. Now listen, they're making the Bible foolishness. Why would God warn us about something if it's not possible to happen? That'd be idle talk, wouldn't it? The Word of God is true. Every word of it's true. Every word of it's profitable. Praise the Lamb of God, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's true, amen. Some people say what Jesus said, that he wouldn't lose one of his sheep. And he's right. Praise God, he'll not lose one of them. But praise God, who's his sheep? He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Praise God. And no man will pluck them out of my hand. His sheep are the believing sheep. Praise God. His sheep are the elect, the called, the chosen, who he knew before the foundation of the world. And they believe and continue in unbelief. They overcome the world. They persevere to the in, praise God. That's how you know his sheep, amen. Look at John chapter 8 for example. John 8 verse 31. John 8 verse 31. It says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. They believed on him. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. If you continue in my word, then you're really my disciples, Jesus said. Then you're really my sheep. Praise God. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And verse 13.
Verse 12 is the verse where he says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief and depart from the living God." And it says, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end."
Amen.
Amen. The mark of a true sheep, the elect of God, is to continue in Jesus. It's enduring. It's believing and believing and believing. It's not believing for a while then enter into unbelief. It's believing. Now look at verse 17 with me. Hebrews 3, verse 17. It says, but verse 16, we better read it to get the context. It's for some, when they had heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Amen. Praise God. He brings their mind back to the Exodus when they came out of Egypt. Listen. Praise God. Amen. That whole bunch of Jews were baptized onto Moses through the cloud and through the Red Sea. Praise God. They all were baptized. They all ate the same spiritual food. Praise God. Together. They all drank from the same spiritual rock. And that rock that followed them, the Bible says, was Jesus Christ. Amen. They all went through the baptism. They all was eating the meat and drinking the water from the rock. Praise God. But praise God, God wasn't pleased with a bunch of them. And He destroyed them in the wilderness. He left their carcasses scattered in the wilderness. Why? Because of sin. Now listen, sin's not a root. Sin's a fruit. The fruit of the wicked is sin. Sin is a fruit. The root is unbelief. That's what He just said. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. That's the heart of unbelief. It brings forth fruit. And that fruit of unbelief, praise God, is always sin. Always. Now some people say, "Well, sure. Saved. You're always saved. You can even become an unbelieving Christian and die unbelieving and still go to heaven." The Bible says, "But the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake of fire." Think about that. Praise God. God swore in His wrath that the unbelieving Jews would not go into His kingdom. Praise God. When we look back, we've seen that they murmured against God and it's cut off. We look back and see that they lusted at praise God and it was cut off. We look back and we mark their sins. We say, "What's wrong with them?" I tell you what was wrong with them. They were unbelievers. They fell into unbelief, praise God. That's what's wrong with them. And what happens when you get into unbelief and you begin to sin? Your heart begins to harden. Praise God, this place said, "Harden not your heart through the deceitfulness of sin." God speaks to you. He says, "Son, you sins." He says, "I'm going to sin some more. I'm going to go on. I'm going to rebel." Your heart gets harder and harder. Pretty soon you're an unbeliever. Now praise God, look at James with me. Next book over. Book of James, chapter 5, verse 19. James 5, verse 19. He says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth," he's talking to brothers and sisters, "if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him," that's turn him back, "let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." Amen. Here's a picture of a brother, a believer, falling into a state of unbelief. And the unbeliever, praise God, I call him an unbelieving believer, he has a mark on him, and it's the mark of Cain, it's sin. He says he's a sinner. That sin didn't make him an unbeliever. Again, it's the fruit of unbelief. Now he's a sinner by practice. What he used to overcome is now overcoming him. He's under bondage. He lost his liberty in Jesus Christ. The sin he can't get rid of. Peter said they can't cease from their sins. And what's going to become of them? He said, praise God, if you convert them, if you turn them back from their way, you save their soul from death. And you cover a multitude of sins.
If the unbelieving believer dies in their sin, they die in sin. And praise God, He says their soul shall die. God says the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Praise the Lamb of God. Jesus said, fear not them that can kill the body but can't touch the soul. Fear Him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. That's talking about second death. Praise God. You see, when the believer becomes an unbeliever, he's walking the halls of death, praise God. Just like a widow. The Bible says a widow, praise God, that lives in worldly pleasure is dead as she liveth. That's a widow Christian, living in the pleasures of this world. Now, who are they? Who's the unbelieving believers? Praise God. When we think about them, we think about the people come in, they pray a little bit, they maybe go to church a few weeks, and they quit church, and they're right back out doing the old thing they used to do. Now, praise God, could be one of them, but most of them are like little old Judas. They didn't really believe in the first place. They wasn't really, praise God, drawn by God, and they really wasn't converted, praise God. They made a profession of faith. It didn't last long, they're right back out. There was no born-again experience there. There was no change. Maybe some of them, but most of them, no. There was no change. Where do you think most of the unbelieving believers are? Most of them. Jesus talking to the church of Sardis says, you know, I know your works. You have a name that liveth, but guess what? You're dead. You're dead. It was unbelieving believers. They had a profession, praise God, of faith in Jesus Christ. They called themselves Christians. They boasted that they had life, amen. But praise God, a true witness, Jesus Christ, said, you know what? You're dead. God searches the heart. He searches the soul, praise God. And He sees if there's any life in there, praise God. It don't matter what's on the outside, praise God. If the life's not inside of you, you're dead because of unbelief. Turn to your right with me to the book of Jude. To the book of Jude, right before Revelation, verse 12. This is how He describes the unbelieving believers. He says, these are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Where are they? He says they're feasting with you. They're in your midst. They're at your church ministries. They're at the Lord's Supper. They're at the worship services. They're there. They're right there in your midst. He says they're clouds without water. What does that mean? When you see a cloud come, especially where it's been so dry, you're hoping, oh, I hope there's rain in that cloud. But when it comes, it blows on by and there's nothing to it. There's no life-giving moisture to it. Amen. No light of rain. Praise God, they boast themselves of being spiritual, but they don't have the Spirit at all. They have an outward confession or profession of life, but inwardly they're dead. The appearance of life, but no true life. You can appear to be alive and not be alive. I thought about one time I seen a little mouse out in the yard and been dead a while, and it looked like that thing was breathing, just moving. I thought, what is that? There's maggots inside that thing, eating away, making it look like it was alive. Oh, maggot of hypocrisy gets in people, makes them appear to be alive when they're dead. That old maggot of hypocrisy. He says there are trees without fruit, and their fruit's withered. They got withered fruit. They used to have it at one time because they believed at one time. Jesus said, in me you'll bring forth fruit. Without me you can do nothing. But now it's withered, it's gone. Now, praise God, they don't have fruit. He says, they're twice dead. According to Peter, praise God, they become the servants of sin. They can't cease from sin. They go back into bondage of sin, though they keep up their profession. And it says they feed themselves without fear among you. Can you imagine that? Somebody dead, really knows it down in their heart, they're dead. Sin in their life, and they eat the Lord's Supper without fear. Eat at the feast of charity without fear. No trembling. The devil is a better believer than that. He trembles. He knows he has a short time. And Jude speaks of their final destruction. He says they're going to be plucked up by the roots. Hey man, they're gone. When you're plucked up by roots, that tree is gone. And he said the blackness and darkness is reserved for them forever and ever. That's awful, isn't it? Awful.
I thank, praise God, amen, before the devil takes this sermon and beats up a dear saint with it, let me try to answer doubts. Praise God. And maybe there's somebody that's saying, well, I'm fretting now. I fret. Well, what's wrong? They say, well, I'm fearful that I'm dead. Why do you think you're dead? They say, well, because I sinned. What did you do after you sinned? Well, I told God I was sorry and I wept and apologized for it. But did you repent? Oh, yes, I cast that sin far away from me. I never want it again. Well, you shouldn't fret. Praise God, that's a mark of election. That's a mark of really being a Christian. Amen? Repentance. Amen. The Christian walk is filled with repentance, praise God. None of us is perfect. We all going to fall sometimes. We're all going to stumble. But if you're really one of God, you're going to repent. And there's the brother. Praise God, what's wrong? You look like you're troubled. Oh, it's that sermon you preach. What's wrong with the sermon? Well, it kind of troubled my soul a little bit. I know I shouldn't worry, though. Why does it trouble you? Because of my sin. Your sin? Yes, it's just a little sin. And I know God probably won't judge me over that little sin. Have you not repented of that sin? No, not yet. You're not sorry for that sin. No, but I am ashamed of it. I don't want nobody in the church to know about my sin. But you're not sorry, no? Well, this sermon was for you. It's for you. You've not repented. Providence has, praise God, picked this sermon out just for you. You're either twice dead or you're dying. You're almost gone. You need to repent and lay down in sackcloth and ashes and mourn. And don't harden your heart. That's what you need to do. But you say, I'll do no such thing. And I despise the way you talk to me. I despise how harsh you are when you preach about these things. And I'll do no such thing. If you don't repent of your sin, you'll despise the day you was born instead of the preacher that warned you. You'll mourn for your sin in hell, but it'll be too late then. And you'll think the flames that smite you is a whole lot harsher than the tongue that tries to help you. And when you're locked up in the pit of hell, praise God, you'd wish you'd listen to the preacher. And I'll not comfort anyone in their sin. I'll not do it. I'll not do it. You're badly deceived. No excuse. No excuse. If you can go on in sin and it don't bother you and you won't repent of it, you're dying or you're done and dead. Simple as that. Now what do I do? How do I become a believer? I'm in unbelief now. Should I just pray and ask Jesus to help my unbelief? He won't hear you till you repent. He heareth not sinners. He told the church in Sardis, you must repent. Jesus preached in Mark chapter 1, the time fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. Repent. He told the Pharisees and rebuked them, praise God. He said, you repent it not afterward that you might believe. Paul testified to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance towards God, faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance. You can't pray till you repent. You can't even believe until you repent. You've got sin in your life and you've got doubt in your life. There's a reason why you doubt, why you're in unbelief. It's a wicked sin. And you need to repent of it. Praise God. You wish to be saved from the damnation of hell and unbelief, then repent of your sins. Repent of your sins. That's the words of Jesus Christ. That's the only cure for unbelief. If you're a sinner and you've never been saved in your life, repent and believe the gospel. If you're a backslider, twice dead, repent and believe the gospel. While there's time. While there's time. While the call is going out, repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. God says, humble yourselves and pray. Seek my face. Turn from your wicked ways and I'll hear from heaven then. Until then you will not be hurt. You will not be hurt. But praise God, church. Amen. It's going to somebody. I hope you take heed. Hope you take heed. It's nothing to play with, no excuse for sin. Weak Christian, strong Christian, poor Christian, rich Christian, young Christian, old Christian. Don't matter. God requires your sin. He requires it. What you know to be sin is to be laid down. No playing with it. No matter what size the sin is either, big sin, small sin. It's sin, repent of it. Repent of it. Or, like I preached in a sermon a few weeks ago, We have two choices if we're going to hold on to sin. Jesus said, I wish you was hot or cold. Hot or cold. Go serve the devil or serve Jesus with all your heart. Be the best sinner you can be or be the best Christian you can be. But don't hold on to sin. Don't live in sin and play hypocrite. Don't do that. Praise God. Church, I'm going to open up the altar and ask you to pray.